good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today, Soccer This Morning, Soccer Very Early. It's World Cup today. It's Decision Day, Dwayne. FIFA Congress is deciding and going to start to vote in just a few minutes. United 2026 or Morocco 2026. It's going down as we speak. I haven't slept all night. How you doing?
Well, I did sleep a little bit. I was doing a lot of tracking last night, and at about 8:30, I went, you know what? It's going to be about a month straight of nothing but soccer, nothing but inundating myself with it. And that's wonderful. It really is. But thought that I needed to watch one last movie or television show or something that was just non-sports, like completely the opposite of sports that I could find. So I watched the BBC series Call the Midwife, which is, you know, people are going to make fun of me for that. But it's a charming little period piece about a bunch of women midwives, midwifery in the 50s in England. So, yeah, that's what I watched last night to get it out of my system. All soccer moving forward. Yes, I just admitted to watching Call the Midwife. Sue me.
Hey, at least you're not watching like Love Island or something. So that's not too bad. But while the FIFA Congress is taking place today, controversy in the Spain camp. Dwayne, 3 days before the first game, Spain has sacked their manager. Lopetegui is out. He had accepted the job of Real Madrid for the post-World Cup world, but apparently he can start to work for Real Madrid now because he's not going to be managing Spain in 3 days' time. This is insane.
Yeah, but real quickly, just before I get into that, Kevin, I just had a report sent to me that Inside the Games, which is a very reputable source, has now reporting that Russia has switched sides. They have previously declared to the United bid, or to the Moroccan bid, they're now going to vote United. That's according to Inside the Games. All right, we'll come back to that. In terms of the Spain situation, really this comes down to historic grievances between Real Madrid players and Barcelona players. If you have any idea, if you followed Spain any time before 2008, before they became a well-oiled machine, they were always underwhelming in World Cups. And a large part of that was always attributed to this rivalry between the Madrid and the Barcelona camps, the two great rivals of Spain. To have a manager just days before the World Cup say, oh, I'm going to go to Real Madrid, that's literally the worst thing you could possibly do there. I know a lot of people are going, well, what's the problem? He just said he's going to do after the game. No, it has to do with the Barca-Real Madrid rivalry, folks.
Dwayne, the vote is happening now as we're speaking. There's 7 seconds... The vote is now. Okay, so everyone's looking really nervous. Everyone's looking at the screen, which am I? I'm going to put my sound on so I understand what's going on.
Okay, we'll pause.
We have the results now. Holy crap.
Here.
This might be a not safe for work. No, not too loud, Dwayne. Don't, not too loud. I have it on my
screen. It's not a one-by-one vote. It was unsure like that. So we'll find out in a...
Yeah. If you could just lower your volume, Dwayne, a bit on your... Thank you. All right, come on, electronic vote. Man, I can't stand this. This is nerve-wracking.
It's because people are hesitating.
Well, they had 15 seconds, and they have the double-checking, triple-checking everything, I imagine. Man, my heart is beating fast. My palms are sweaty.
Prepare yourself for disappointment. It's always easier.
All right, the results are ready. All right, here we have the results.
If he holds up a card that says Qatar, I'm going to lose it.
Well, it can't be Qatar.
Thank you very much.
All right. What is it going to be?
We have a winner.
We have a winner.
For the 2026 FIFA World Cup. The member associations of Canada, Mexico, and USA have been...
Yeah, we're going in as hosts. We're going in as hosts. Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
We're going maybe as hosts.
I'm still going to make the joke on Twitter, but, well, apparently they won. What was the vote?
United 2026 is getting the World Cup. This is crazy. Silence is, oh, my Lord. We're going to cover a World Cup in our lifetime. I'm going to travel across the country from Commonwealth to Azteca, prepared to talk about soccer. Oh, man. This is insane. Ah! Oh, man. I was so ready for disappointment, Wade. I was so ready. I was ready for disappointment. And then we're having the World Cup. Stade Olympique is going to get renovated. Stade Olympique is going to get renovated.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm a look, I've been tracking this, as people well know, and the votes were very much flying in Morocco's favor. But I'll say a couple things about that. I've never said that United didn't have a chance. I thought that the Wave 2 victory, and I can't wait to see the breakdown of the votes.
And by the way, the breakdown of the vote is going to be made public as soon as the Congress is done later today. So we'll break that down probably later on this week. But we're going in as hosts. We're going in as hosts. I'm freaking out. I need
to pee. It was actually, they had less. I'm looking at the numbers here. 134-65. It actually was, Moroccan support bled. That is less than.
Oh, my
there's
Lord.
There's 55 nations in the CAF. 54 with votes. So the fact that they only got 10 more votes from that means that some of the countries that had previously publicly declared for Morocco have bled away. That leads into that Inside the Games report that we just had previous to that suggests that there was a lot more of them. When I said that Russia had moved over, there was a lot more going against it. So that's, as I said, and I tweeted this out to someone yesterday. They said, you know, they were asking me what the path to victory was, and or whether I thought something was going to happen. I said, you can't guarantee anything. Just because a country is declaring it doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it still was worthwhile tracking it. Anyhow.
Yeah, so I've Carlos Cordero, of president of U.S. Soccer, is now talking. Congratulations to Victor Matagliani, president of CONCACAF, former president of the Canadian Soccer Association, Stephen Reed, Nick Bontis, everyone I know involved. Dwayne, this has been a long journey. We've been talking about 2026 and the possibility of having Canada outright bid for the games. It wasn't a United decision, and it won. We're going to have a World Cup in Montreal, in Toronto on opening day with LA and with Mexico City. It's going to be quite a ride for the next 8 years.
Yeah. Look, this is big. It's big. I think that there was a certain element of people out there, just like with the U.S. failing to qualify for the World Cup, that were kind of hoping that they might not get it because they felt that it might be a further indication or further motivation, I should say, to continue to push forward to make changes without sort of having the cheat code, so to speak, of having a World Cup. And to them, I always responded, well, you usually do much better when you have a cheat code. So this is just an impetus. The men have to get better now. Right? The men have to get better.
We have to play. We have to win this World Cup. It doesn't matter if Canada's going to get half a spot, maybe a chance in qualifying, maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. Thank you to Alfonso Davies for talking. Oh, man, they're giving... It's official now. They have it in their hands. It's Canada, Mexico, USA, United bid, getting the World Cup for 2026.
All right. I'm going to make this is just going to go sort of off the cuff in a lot of different directions. I think we've said all we need to say on the Spain thing, right? You agree with my take?
Yeah, anyway. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So the host spots, that's going to be a question that's going to, I bet you, become pretty prominent in the days ahead. We've always been talking about it here, but outside of the walls of Canada, United States, and Mexico, or probably just outside of Canada, no one else is really concerned about the three qualifying spots that automatically go to the hosts. Outside of these countries, there's going to be questions. All three are going to get in is probably going to what it's going to be, because keep in mind that there's a lot of people in the world. I saw a chatter on Twitter today where people were arguing with others that it isn't a 48-team World Cup. So, like,
it is.
Don't ever assume that people know this stuff.
the question mark is for 2022, and that was even voted today, and it was voted on, and it was passed. There will be an inquiry in the possibility of making Qatar a 48-team World Cup. But that's a possibility. For 2026, it's assured. It's 48 teams. That's what it is. That's what the bid was meant to be. That's what both countries bid on. That's what they've accepted. Basically, Canada, Mexico, and United States just accepted the challenge and the responsibility of organizing a 48-team World Cup. That's what was voted on today.
Yeah, no, for sure. But to get back to the host stuff, there is no guarantee that, you know, we're making the joke, but there is no guarantee. FIFA does have the final say on this. And I'm pure speculation right now. I did actually just in seconds following the vote, I sent a couple messages out to sources that are over there asking whether they can confirm whether we have a host spot or not. So one of them happens to get back to me. And don't count on that because I suspect they're busy.
Yeah, I think they're busy jumping on the stage right now. But
if they do, I'll let you know. But I suspect what's going to happen, and this is pure speculation, is that FIFA is going to probably give us a spot. But I think that they might put a mandate on it. They might say, okay, well, if Canada can get to this ranking point or can prove to us, you know, in some vague, undefined way by X time, then we'll give you the spot. I don't think we're going – in the days ahead, suspect that there might be some suspicion cast on the fact that they'll get all three. They might say, ah, we're looking into it or things like that because ultimately, you know, this is early days.
But Dwayne,
early seconds.
The World Cup's coming to your town. The World Cup coming to my town. The World Cup coming to Steven Sandor's town. Hello, everyone in Edmonton. You're going to get a renovation to Commonwealth Stadium, too. BMO Field's going to have upgrades. The soft benefit will be very interesting to me. And you know what, Dwayne? I was I've tried for 45 minutes and I couldn't. I was too excited. And it got myself thinking. Okay, so if Canada gets it, and well, Canada, United States, and Mexico, and Montreal gets renovations for the stadium for 2026, those renovations would be a retractable roof, actually natural grass in the stadium, and new seats. And of course, technological upgrades so that you can broadcast in HD, and by that point will be 4K or 3D or even maybe hologram television, who knows. But all those technological infrastructures improvements, that got me thinking, what if MLS continues to grow the way it's been growing and the impact gets better? Obviously they need to get better on the pitch, but in the crowds and have more people, what if the Olympic Stadium with those renovations becomes the home of the Impact with 45,000 seats instead of 23. I'm just here spitballing, but that's the soft benefit, and that's the benefit of having the World Cup. I can't believe the World Cup's coming here.
Yeah, no, it's surreal. I'm not trying to be a wet blanket. I'm just trying to take a step back and you know, put the what ifs out there to get people to, you know, you don't have to calm down today. Do whatever you want. There is no guarantee that all three cities are going to get games too either. We should put that out there as well. That was put forth quite clearly by FIFA. FIFA makes the final decisions on everything, but they're going to take the recommendation of the host committee. And I doubt they're going to want to avoid playing games in French Canada. I doubt they're going to want to avoid playing games in Western Canada. And I doubt they're going to want us to avoid playing games in Toronto, which is obviously the largest and most well-known, well, one of the most well-known, I don't want to get into a regional pissing match right now, cities in the world that people relate to Canada. And, well, Toronto was in the video as they did. I don't know if people saw that. I want to talk about that for a second. They talked about, we're going to have an historic first day, and then they flashed an image of not just three countries, not just three flags. It wasn't like a moose wearing a Mountie hat there for Canada. It actually said Toronto.
It said Toronto, there, which, Mexico, and Los Angeles, like I mentioned earlier.
Monterey. I said it was Toronto, Monterey, and Los Angeles were the three cities. I thought it was Monterey anyway. Correct me if I'm wrong on that. But Toronto was directly, although I do want to criticize the video ever so slightly, they pronounced Toronto wrong.
It's Toronto. It's Toronto.
Toronto. Nah. They pronounce the second T. No one here does that.
You know, as in na 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 na. Hey, goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a bit excited here. Too much caffeine.
I'm train of thought stuff right now. It's early in the morning, as you say, and it's hard to process it all at once. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking about the tracking, and I am flabbergasted by how low for Monaco's vote was. And I'm not concerned about the fact that I didn't get the tracking right there. Well, I did get the tracking right. Those things were all said. They're all linked. It wasn't me making this stuff up.
Yeah, it just changed, and you're not the only one. Andrew Das of the New York Times, who's a famous soccer reporter as well, who's in Russia as we speak, covering the Congress, and he was tracking up until early Russian morning, and he was 50-50 in his mind, and it was a toss-up at that point. And I guess allegiance changed late, and I guess the last minute push, last minute lobbying, and even maybe the attitude of the two presentations, and then let's maybe go there. The attitude of the two presentations were very different. And, you know, it reminded me of a rap battle in Focus from, you remember the movie 8 Mile? You know, if you go first, but you talk about yourself and you and you already say all your flaw, the other guy who comes after, it's he wants to tell your flaws again, but you already covered all your bases and he doesn't look as good as he would have hoped. Morocco presenting second, they had an opportunity for to be what people remembered before they vote, right? And that's not necessarily that's a benefit. That's an advantage, being the last presenter before a vote. You're fresh in people's minds. But if you use antagonistic attitude in that presentation, like starting to bring up guns and starting to talk about their human rights or more violence in there than in Morocco, but then you start people thinking, yeah, but they're not talking about their flaws or their problems and human rights and the fact that you're not even allowed to be gay. It's not even, it's against the law and you'll be put in prison. And those little things might have come up to people's minds, be like, yeah, United 2026 at least didn't bash Morocco. They just talked about themselves.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look, there was a tone difference in the Moroccan camp over the weeks ahead. I was talking to someone back channel yesterday that suggested that about 2 weeks ago, hopes in the United camp were so low that there was instructions going out within the Canadian Premier League circles to not talk about it, to not talk about the possibility of 2026 as a building block for this league, because they were that convinced that this was going the wrong way at that point. But they said, the same person said, that in the last week or so, they started to see a real change in the attitude around the camp. There was a growing feeling that they were gaining votes. And I was hearing, and I tweeted this out a couple times last night, that they were starting to, that Morocco was starting to bleed African votes. There was a lot of countries in Africa that were stepping away, and that as I said, as we just saw play out, that they were losing a lot of previously declared support. I am thinking that this publicly declared support stuff had as much to do with optics as it did to do with anything, because let's face it, there's going to be very few people in this world that are going to go on FIFA's website and look to see who voted for who. They're going to remember, however, that their minister said, we don't support that Trump idiot. And then their football federation went, yeah, well, we want the money, though. So.
Well, we're going to get a check twice as big, so why not? And, you know, you mentioned not a lot of people will go on FIFA.com. I know a few of those people who will, and that's you and I. As soon as it's available later today when we wake up from our nap, we'll take a look at who voted for whom. And that will be fascinating. Now, Dwayne,
no,
go ahead.
Sure. No, I was going to say, I'm just going on now just in case. But, yeah, look, 65 votes. Wow. Anyway, I'm shaking my head on that. It's
not even close. It wasn't even close. I thought it was going to be closer. I guess a few abstentions. And I guess a lot of people were either swayed by the presentation of United 2026 or by Morocco. I doubt it, because it's last minute lobbying like this. It's usually Hail Mary saying, okay, give me your vote and I'll give you like way too much money. That's the old Exco type terms. But yeah, it's interesting too, Dwayne, the fact that money, $11 billion revenue for 2026, United 2026. So there's that. But I think the inclusion, I think the unity, I think the presentation, the fact that you had the president of the Mexican Football Association, you have the Alfonso Davies, you have the Brianna Gonlo of the United States, the U20 player, the woman, and you had the U20 player of the Mexican side. You gave us some sort of diversity in that presentation. And when you look at the presentation of Morocco, they took the time of their presentation to bring two African soccer players of another nation in Africa to almost, what it felt to me was to rally the African vote. Like, guys, don't forget, we should stick together on this one. Come on, don't forget, you're supposed to follow the party line.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, I was noticing that in the last few days, how much they were kept talking about CAF unity, African unity. There was a plea by the person from Madagascar, the other day that was talking directly to other African nations to try and convince them to vote for this. And previous to that, it had been held up as a no-brainer that all of Africa was going to support Morocco by the Moroccan bid, and it was held as common wisdom. And in fact, that was a big basis of what I was calling my soft count throughout this process, is I was including CAF for Morocco and CONCACAF for United, with the caveat that obviously stuff happens when people vote and they can change their mind. So clearly in the last couple of days, as I said, and this was the biggest shift that I saw, there was this feeling that Africa was not as solid as we thought. And you started to see it out of the Moroccan bid. There was constant references to African Union, constant references to this is the fair time. Although, just as a quick aside, this whole, like, it's time to give back to Africa.
It needed you to had be fair it eight to Africa. Years ago.
For God's sake, you had it 8 years ago. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing. I was like, dude, what are you talking about? We hadn't had it since 32 years. And we lost it like twice over those times. What do you mean get back to Africa? You want to make people feel guilty about the last 400 years of civilization's history? Or you want to talk about soccer? Like, it's two different things here. Don't mix things up. Not saying you don't have a point if it's the first one you're mentioning, but it's not fair either. We're talking about sports here. Don't mix things up a bit.
Yeah, no, there's little doubt, you know, what they're saying when they say that. It's code for why would you give it to the rich Americans? It's just code to try and appeal to anti-American votes. And look, we're Canadian, so we're saying this without any bias, but without as much bias as an American might. You know, anti-Americanism is stupid. Like, it's based on nothing but jealousy half the time. And yes, the United States has some foreign policy issues that I strongly disagree with politically myself, but that isn't the same thing as being an anti-American. And a lot of the sentiment against the United vote was pure anti-Americanism. And I don't really have a lot of time for that. A lot of the resistance towards the United vote was just pure, like, it wasn't from a good place. And I always found this fascinating when I was talking about it and thinking about it over the last few months. And I thought about not a lot much more. Hell, I thought about this more than anything other than maybe a hockey team that is champions. But anyway. But yeah, it was based on stuff that wasn't good. Like, this wouldn't have been a nice underdog story had Morocco won this. It wouldn't have been. It would have been cynicism personified. It would have been people putting their own self-interests over what's best for the game, what's best for their country. It would have been saying, screw you, you put my friend in jail. Like, like the 65 nations that voted for it, I mean, some of them would have some legit reasons, and I understand. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was going to say, let's not forget, those are the pro-blatters, right? I can't wait to see the actual results, who voted for whom, but I can probably safely assume that those 65 countries were like the pro-blather camp, right? And, you know, Infantino in his presidential address, and that was really interesting and actually quite awe-inspiring. And yes, you have to take it and leave some of those because, yes, some of them is just lip service. But some of the things talking about the future of the sport, sustainability, and having the audacity to vote with the future of soccer in mind and not just the future of a certain region. It has to be global. And the fact that United 2026 won after he addressed and mentioned that sustainability and the fact that they have to be transparent and have to be all those things that we always wanted in a utopian FIFA we would have. And there's a progress towards those important aspect of a great association like FIFA. You need transparency and you need anti-corruption mechanism in place, and that is one thing that he addressed that he's been really working hard on. And it's kind of at least coherent that after a address like this, United 2026, which is the most sustainable, more feasible, and less white elephant type of bid, wins. So at least it's the same message, and the delegates might have listened to Infantino.
Yeah, look, there has to be change there. I always thought that was the least fortunate aspect of the vote. Like, anti-Americanism just exists and it's never going to go away. But the, like, those Caribbean nations that announced that they were moving away from the United bid, that was purely about them being angry about the arrests and so on and so forth. So I really had very little time for that. And it was very difficult for me to bite my tongue when talking about those things in a real way, because quite frankly, I was disgusted by those things. I mean, there is no logical reason for Dominica to vote against the United bid. There is no benefit to them whatsoever them to do that.
It's the exact opposite. It would impede their development because they would receive half as much money. And if you're Dominica, guess what? You need that check. You need that check a lot.
Just because graft is how politics has always worked in your country doesn't mean you should aspire to continue to have graft as your primary means of political presentation. Well, Kevin, I feel that we might have some new listeners. So I want to repeat ourselves a little bit with some points that we've made in the past about our thoughts on the overall bidding process and what a 48-team World Cup means. And bear with us, longtime Five Rings and longtime Soccer Today listeners here. With 48 teams, Kevin, it's always been my position that this idea, the concept around the United bid, is something that we need to consider moving forward. In fact, we'd even like, well, at least I'd like to even expand that further and have multiple countries that aren't even close to each other hosting World Cup in the future. Putting that aside for a second, I think when you're to talk to any Moroccan listeners out there that might have tuned in for some reason, you're a bit of a masochist, aren't you? But anyway, to talk to them directly, this isn't anti-Morocco. And if this were a 32-team World Cup, I'd be all for it. I would say, not all, obviously I'd still support the country I'm in, but I would be less cynical about the potential of any single country to host this thing. I even include, if the United States reached out and got two countries close to it to help it support 48 teams, I think that says a lot about the potential of any single country that is in the world outside of perhaps China. Maybe China could pull this off by itself, simply because of its wealth and sort of politics and all that sort of stuff. And we've seen them, China seems to write blank checks, right? So I don't know if it's for the best for their people, but they can. Outside of countries like that, I don't think anyone can pull it off by themselves. So if Morocco wants to bid again, and I don't blame them if they don't, I think it's got to be in a united North African bid. And if a united North African bid puts itself forward in 2030, I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to consider it, and I'm going to give it equal billing to the expected Uruguayan Argentina bid. That's sentimentally going to be favorite for it because of the centennial celebration, but nothing's for sure. And at that point, I think that's worth looking at. So, but that is the future, Kevin, and I'll let you jump in here. I think regional bids are going to happen moving forward to handle this size of a tournament.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. And already this is almost a regional bid. And if you're going to have a regional bid and they don't need to really travel, what's the difference? And you're going to have a travel day anyway. What's the difference between having a 3-hour flight or 4-hour flight or crossing the continent or not? Or exactly. But let's just look now a bit ahead, Dwayne. What is next for Canada, United States, and Mexico? Now we have been awarded the World Cup. The World Cup is coming to our continent. What is the next step in your mind? What is, outside of getting better at soccer to make sure that we're actually playing soccer in this World Cup, renovations of stadiums, yes, but how do we get the entire population behind? Or is it even a question? Will it happen by itself? Well, what is the next few steps in your mind?
Well, to take a breath first is going to be the first. Well, they've got to make the final decisions on stadiums. So the next few months, I think, is going to be unsolidifying exactly what that bid is. And there's going to be another bidding process that takes place within the United States in terms of narrowing down their stadiums, because they have a lot more stadiums to make the final list, and not all of them are going to make it. As I said, when I was talking about Canada a minute ago, the three countries or cities in this country that are on the final list, Edmonton, Montreal, Toronto, there's political and historical reasons to include all three of them in the final bid. It depends on how Canada wants to divvy up those games. I suspect it'll be 5 in Edmonton and 5 split between Toronto and Montreal, as I think how this will play out. I think Toronto is going to be told, the reason Toronto is going to accept the fact that it's going to get less than 5 games is because, as the biggest city, is because it's going to get the first game. But so those kind of decisions are going to be sort of made in the days ahead. But beyond that, yeah. Here's the thing about the United bid, and this is one of the great advantages it had to the Moroccan bid. There's not a lot more that has to happen. decide where the stadiums are going to be done, identify exactly what you want to improve by 2026, and set up a plan to improve it. But it's 2026. You're talking about BMO is going to have to be expanded another 10,000 seats, 12,000 seats, but they can put some temporaries in there. So that's a pretty major fee. So get ready for another big TFC road trip at the start of season, but probably the 2021-22 season, somewhere around there. That's going to be something that has to happen. Montreal, the big O, that's the biggest thing that's going to happen. And let me just say something out there. If you're an Expos fan, this might be good news, but that's a different thought for a different day.
Yeah, but an Expos stadium would need to be closer to downtown, according to some. Who knows? But
but if you renovated the Big O in such a way that you could reconfigure it after into a baseball stadium, it was a little more friendly, you know.
Or maybe you convert it to soccer fully, you know. Because it's going to get new seating, might as well redo the cement.
I've understood this resistance to go to out there. I mean, Piax, it's not that far. Christ,
I know,
it's
but
a 50-minute ride on the subway and the metro.
It's baseball. Like, no one goes to see baseball anymore, anyway. So how about we just get them season tickets?
Yeah, just saying, if you're going to run a big O, you might as well have a long-term plan for it. And to me, make it a baseball stadium again. After the thing, and that you could make that like the Big O was never a great view. There weren't great viewing. It was designed to watch track and field in the 1976 Olympics, and then they shoved the baseball team in there.
It was designed to watch like 10 things at once. It was designed to be able to have binoculars and watch all different things, because that's what you see when you're actually seeing Olympic track and field competitions, because you don't really see anything if you don't have binoculars and focus on one part of the track at once. All right. Canadian Premier League, the ratification of this World Cup for the Canadian Premier League, Dwayne. This is for sure a boost in the morale and into almost when your example, okay, we'll use a topical example, your Marvel, you create a bunch of movies that lead up to one great movie. So you have an arc of promotion, like almost a timetable of we can ramp it up until that point. We're getting excited to a point for a party. And if you're the Canadian Premier League, you know you're getting the World Cup in 8 years, and you have a shot of developing players that will play in the Canadian men's national team that might be part of the 2026 World Cup. So if you're the Canadian Premier League, how happy are you this morning?
You're very, very happy, and excuse me if I'm distracted. They are currently showing highlights of Canada, the 1986 World Cup, on the FIFA stream.
There's highlights? There's highlights?
Like, is that Bobby Leonard Doozy? What the hell is happening?
Anyway. I'm like, we didn't score a goal. We got a 0-0 draw against France. Is that a highlight? Like, I don't know.
Well, it was a 1-0 loss against France.
It was a 1-0 loss. Well, even worse, I was 2 years old. I don't remember.
Actually, the France game they actually played quite well in all three games, other than maybe the Russian game at the end. Sorry, the Soviet Union game at the end. It was so long ago that they played the Soviet Union in the World Cup. Anyway.
We're going in as host, maybe. We're going in as host, maybe. No one's going to believe us, and no one's going to believe us. Maybe.
But yeah, what does it mean for the Canadian Premier League? It's just a boost. It's just a... What did it mean for MLS when they, you know, they didn't start till 2 years after, but basically it meant everything to it. And I think that the Canadian Premier League owes a lot to this bid and to the previous plans. And I've been talking about this since 2009. I've been reporting on Canada's attempts to bid for the 2026 World Cup since 2009. And people called me insane in 2009 that I thought that Canada could host the 2026 World Cup.
So does that mean that you're not insane, or you're just not insane for those reasons, for another reason?
It's not a solo bid, and I still, you know, have a little bit of sadness that they didn't bid alone. But I guess this worked out in the end, so I do understand the logic behind it.
In my mind, a solo bid would not have been worse than Morocco. Like, think about it. Add a few stadiums here and there, a few CFL stadiums, and look, we got ourselves a comparable bid to Morocco 2026. But anyways, it's a moot point. We're getting the World Cup anyways.
Yes. Well, yeah. Had it been a solo bid and it had got to a vote at FIFA, they win, because they would have won the CONCACAF vote prior. So they would have been a superior, you know, they would have been figured already past their biggest challenger, which would have been to the States. Anyway, putting that aside. It's going to mean everything to that league, because it's going to allow them to market around it. It's going to allow them to attract more players here. it might even allow them to convince, and here's a thought that, that a lot of people maybe haven't put there, you know, those like, my great grandfather is from here. Maybe I'll go, and I'm an 18-year-old prospect in wherever. Maybe I take this Canadian Premier League opportunity, but the idea with the eye towards getting my Canadian passport, some of those passport Canadians, which are just Canadians by the end, but you know what I mean.
FC Barcelona player, Barcelona B player, what about Balu? Balu, are you going to answer the call now? You want to be here in 8 years?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, the Ivory Coast is not guaranteed by any means to be in the 2026 World Cup. By any means. It's a very strong nation, for sure, but they're not in this World Cup. So, you know, African qualifying is a crapshoot. So if you're Blue, you look at your career and you go, I want to play international football. I want to play in a World Cup. Well, once that host spot is guaranteed and set in stone, the Canadian Federation goes to them and goes, well, look, you'll be in the World Cup in 2026. This is not like we think we have a good chance. It absolutely is going to help them with maintaining their dual citizenship Canadians. I think it might even attract more here, right? And that's the positive of
the Scott Arfield of this world. Or even Balu, like, hey, Jaiv, hey, Balu, with you, we might even qualify for 2022. Who knows? We got a golden generation coming up.
Well, And this is okay. What happened with the United States in 1998? That's got to be Canada. If you want to talk about Canadian national team, this isn't two solitudes, but we're going to be Canadian focused here for a second because this is really about our feelings as Canadians. That's got to be Canada's focus right now. They can't be thinking too much about, all right, we've got this free ride in. No. We've got to earn our way in first so that when we get there in 2026, we're not just there to make up the damn numbers. The U.S. got out of the group in 1994. It's going to be a little easier to get out of these groups because they're going to be three teams groups. And there's something another to think about as well. They're only guaranteed two games in this damn thing in 2026, right? So, you know, I'm not going to sell my soul for two games in the World Cup, but I'm going to be happy to have them. Instead, this has got to be used as impetus to really drive things forward quickly and now with a focus, with a purpose of getting to 2022 on merit. And I want it to be a 32-team World Cup. Screw this 48-team thing. I want 32. I want Canada in the way that they should have qualified
just before. So we can say we qualified before it was 48. Otherwise, we'll always have that asterisk next to our qualification process.
Yeah, they. In hindsight, I just want to point out that if the 1994 World Cup had been 32 teams, based on the CONCACAF qualifying, Canada is in on a 32 team as the third best team in CONCACAF then. But anyway, putting that aside, woulda, coulda, shoulda, if
did it,
you know. Yep. My aunt were, you know, the same.
Well, if your aunt had an aunt, it would be your uncle.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know all the expressions, but I know that one.
Yeah. Alas, yeah, they're going in. This is interesting stuff. A couple other things.
2026, summer of 2026, don't look for me. I think Dwayne and I, we'll figure it out. We got 8 years, but an RV with a portable studio going from city to city. Probably like a bucket list type of thing we might think about doing.
All right.
You know how to drive? Because I don't. But I can learn. I got 8 years.
You point the steering wheel left if you want to go left. You point it right if you want to go right.
Good. Or we get ourselves a driver so we can actually do shows and rest while we're driving between cities.
Yeah, no, I know how to drive. It's fine. I'm kind of rambling a little bit here. You know, I have a lot of thoughts in a lot of different directions here. You know, what's this going to mean for Morocco in the World Cup? We'll probably talk about that on Soccer Today, which is going to be daily. Maybe we'll, cause Kevin, I think maybe we both need to get a little bit of a decompress here and we'll come back and we'll do something else today. But, just for the new listeners, anyone who's signed in today, we are going to be daily about 10 minutes after the first game of every day during the World Cup. So we'll be reviewing the first game of the day. And we're in the Eastern time zone, so around 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's 3 p.m. GMT. So we'll around there, we'll be reviewing the first game of the day then and the last two games of the previous day. And every day during the World Cup, including the weekends. So it's going to be a fun month and already tired thinking about it, Kevin. So I'm going to shut up for now and let you close the show.
And you can follow Dwayne on Twitter at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larme. We'll be back tomorrow at a weird time tomorrow. We'll come back after the Russia and Saudi Arabia game for World Cup today on this opening day of the World Cup on Thursday, June 14th. But this has been the Decision Day special. You learned it here live while we were here talking about it. Canada, Mexico, and the United States have been awarded the 2026 World Cup. Thank you for listening. Catch us live on youtube.com/sportspodcast.org. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Even if you listen live, it really helps us if you subscribe to the podcast and listen to the podcast on your commute, wherever you get your podcast. Look for World Cup Today, Soccer Today, Kevin Laramie, or Dwayne Rollins. You'll find our shows on any podcatchers out there. And as always, that's my catchphrase. If you don't know, if you're brand new, that's my little saying. Until next time. Have a great soccer.